And welcome to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel.
And Monica.
We are super.
We're super.
I'm laughing because I just want you guys to know that we are just super excited because we are. And super is a great word. I love the word super. Superman.
Super duper.
We are super duper excited. I do say that too.
Super duper excited.
Sorry if that's annoying to you, if you're a listener, but we are super excited to be here. And we were just chit-chatting about being in middle school and how much I hated it. I hated my seventh grade year of middle school. So what about your junior high experience, Monica?
It was great. No, I'm kidding. It was hard. I feel like I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I feel like I came into my own a little bit more in like ninth grade, which I guess would have been it's a freshman year in high school, but we were still in the junior high building. So we were kind of the cool kids.
Yes.
I have some amazing friendships that I still have today from back then that I keep in touch with. But it was hard. It was just a really hard time. You know, you don't really know. You're trying to come into your own. And you're trying to fit in, and you can just never fit in enough with girls, I think, at that age. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's the same with boys, but I think, especially my experience was, is that girls just were always, like, competing and trying to be better than someone. We had a lot of girl fights. Did y'all have fights? A lot of, like, fist fights, hair pulling?
Girl fights? No.
Because we had more girl fights than boy fights.
We had boy fights, but there was a ton of gossip. My seventh grade year, I was in public school, like I know most people are. But I just, my soul did not do well with it. And I was just this very, very, you talk about awkward stage. Mm-hmm. The most awkward of all awkward. And I wasn't the brightest kid in the class, so I was feel like I was just annoying enough to my teachers because I was terrible at math, terrible at science, terrible at grammar, everything we're talking about. I got C's and D's. I was put in the lowest homeroom that you could be in. And they divided homerooms up by intelligence.
Do that now and see what happens.
I was that terrible of a student. But anyway, I seriously tried to follow the crowd. I was cussing and, you know, not a very kind person. And so my seventh grade year was like, wah, wah, wah. Eighth grade year, I got my stuff together.
I think that's how it is even today with a lot of people. Yeah. I remember seventh grade just being kind of hard for my older two kids. You know, my mother-in-law taught eighth grade math. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine eighth grade math? Like algebra. Mm-mm. I ain't trying to do no math.
I didn't like math then either. But anyway, I was so focused on following the crowd. And when I followed the crowd, though, even though there was a clique of us, we were not unified. There was always cliques in the cliques. And one little thing. She said, he said, she said, notes being passed around, one thing could end the unity. Talking about not being very harmonized right now in the world. But Jesus, when he prayed, we kind of broke this prayer up into three sections, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Jesus prays for himself, Jesus prays for the disciples, and now we're at Jesus prays for all believers. Mm-hmm. And once many years ago, I was asked to speak at a women's prayer breakfast, and I didn't know what I was going to talk on. So I used my old concordance like anybody would, prayer. And I read through it, and it led me to Jesus prays for all believers and the high priestly prayer. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I ever really paid attention to it. It was really special because, of course, I had read it before. Surely, I went to Christian school for 6 years. We had touched on it, but I never really paid attention to it. So that was the time that I really started to dig in. And once I really studied it out and fully grasped the rich passage, the richness of the scripture, it has since become one of my favorite parts of the Bible for me. So I really love it. And, you know, even though this prayer, we talk about the complexities of the prayer, it's very simple. The theme of it, you can tell throughout the whole thing, is Jesus praying for unity.
Right.
Unity with God, unity with himself, unity as believers. And I think it's simple to understand what unity is, but in practice, we've proven as humans that it is a difficult task.
Right.
So if your Bible has titles or headings, you will see in these group of verses that we're going to go through something like Jesus prays for all believers. And if you really allow that to sink in and think about the fact that Jesus in his last day on earth was, we were on his mind, and he had that mindset to pray for us believers then and in the future. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible thing to think about. That he cared that much for us.
You know, about 5 years ago, my dad had open heart surgery. He had an aneurysm, and a valve replaced. He'd already had a valve replaced in his 20s, and this was a redo. So it was a very big surgery, especially for someone who'd been on blood thinners for 40 years. And I remember going into the pre-op with him before his surgery, and my husband was also there, as well as my mom. And my dad prayed for us, and he prayed for the persecuted church. And he didn't pray that God would, you know, heal him even. But he was undergoing a very serious surgery that he actually had. There were some complications. And I just think, having that visual and seeing that in a very serious moment that he prayed for us, and I think that's even just a small taste of what Jesus was. Jesus knew exactly what was laying before him, and the fact that he prayed for us before that is just, I don't even have the words to describe it.
I know. I'm reading out of the NLT. We all have our favorite translations, but I'm going to read to you this whole passage, and then we're going to break it up. It says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. So when I first read this years ago as a fairly young, not a young Christian, but as a young woman, I was like, oh, I am them and they're me. How am I going to do this? But the Lord was with me. And he really revealed to me some things, and that's all I want to do is just kind of chit-chat about him. And I think it's interesting the distinction that he made. I'm not only am I praying for the disciples, but I'm also praying for all of the Christians in the whole wide world forever and ever to come. And I started wondering, why did he pray for the believer? It says in verse 21 that they all may be one, that we are all one body of Christ. And I thought, well, if he's praying that we all may be one, my thought process was, well, how? How is that possible that we're all supposed to be as one in unity? It says, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. That just as we've been saying that Christ prayed that we would be one in the Spirit with him together and with each other. That means you and me and Joe Schmo down the street who's a Christian who doesn't necessarily have the same ideals or think the same way politically that I do.
Right.
We're all supposed to be united under the banner of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it just blows my mind that Christ prayed that we would have that kind of unity. And not only that, but that we would have unity together with him and everything that we've been talking about. The very people, us, whose sins put him on the cross that he died for, he wanted and chose and chooses to be united with us, the sinners.
Yes.
It's unmerited favor, grace upon grace upon grace.
Right.
And what an honor.
And how funny is that we often do not extend that same grace that Jesus gave us to anybody that disagrees with us.
I know it. I know it because I do it.
Look at all the people that Jesus disagreed with.
I know.
But
I withhold forgiveness and things like that. And I know that I'm not, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But I do hold on to things. That's one of my things. And, you know, Jesus had every reason to hold on to things, you know, and yet he didn't. That's what makes him perfect. So this kind of theory, I just read, this is an interesting fact, is called unity of the common eternal life. It's one body sharing all of Christ's life. Mm-hmm. One body of believers sharing in Christ's life. Sharing.
Mm-hmm.
We get to share in it.
Right.
It's not just like a lifestyle, the Christianity lifestyle. It's
well, you think if we're united to Christ, as the Bible tells us that we are,
mm-hmm.
if I'm united to Christ and you're united to Christ, there's only one Christ. So, and the thing is that we are united in his life. We are united in his death.
Mm-hmm.
And we are united in his resurrection. We're united to him that way. So then we have to be united together.
Right. And I got to thinking and asking myself, so why did he desire for all of us to be one together? I mean, that is an obvious desire and a drive. And it says, so that the world may believe that God sent us Christ. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus praying to God. For we see a beautiful joining of the Trinity in this prayer.
Right.
In that Jesus is praying to God for himself through the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together.
And then there's the body of Christ.
Right.
On top of that.
Right. So Jesus, why did he desire all of us to be one? So that we're one in Christ, one together, and that this love that we have for Jesus shines out of us so that we show the world who Jesus is by our love for him and by our love for each other. Mm-hmm. And that's our responsibility.
Right. I think a lot of times people, you know, we read, we love because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And we use that as a, almost like a missions tool and a service kind of passage to lean on, like when we're serving people, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's about loving one another.
Yes. Yep. And it says that's great because it sometimes feels like we're not loving each other very well. And that's true. Sometimes we're not doing our job.
Right.
But Philippians 2:2 says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, have the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And that hymn comes to my mind. Have you ever heard One in the Bond of Love? We are one in the bond of love.
Either you just make these things up, or Or I can't tell what you're singing.
Okay, listen. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel his love begun. Let us join our hand that the world will know we are one in the bond of love. And I definitely believe that the author of that hymn was thinking about this particular passage when he was writing that. Let's join our hands with the Spirit. And we are, that's how we're supposed to be, one in the bond of love. Verse 22 says, the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And in talking about unity, we've got to touch on the word glory. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a different context in a few minutes. But just how unified does God want us to be? What does Christ mean when he prays in verse 22, the glory which you have given to me? What glory? So when I was looking this up, my studies took me to Colossians 12:13 that says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in us, our glory is God.
I think that we don't often talk about our unity with Christ. We talk about being saved. We talk about being Christians. But I don't think that we talk a lot about what is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why he sets this prayer up of he's talking about glorifying himself, God sending him a people for himself that he's going to redeem, and all that's going to bring mm-hmm. him glory. And then he goes on from himself. He talks about his disciples, his body, his followers, those that God has given to him to be a part of him and to spread the message on when Jesus is no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we see God giving Jesus more people mm-hmm. through the witness of the disciples. And it's just this where it continues and continues and continues. And it's the Great Commission. And we are to be united because we've got one Jesus.
Right. And he is the glory.
And he is the glory.
When I was
it's
like reading this, I was like, what glory? What glory? And I'm like, what's the glory? Well, God is the glory. That's what he's talking about.
And when I am deliberately offending you,
mm-hmm.
because let's face it, most of the time when we're offensive, it's deliberate because we're trying to get our point across.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't want it to bother you, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't want you to.
I don't want you to be offended, but I really want you to hear what I have to say, and I want you to agree with me.
That's the ticket, agreeing.
Right. But our goal should be that we are to honor each other and to encourage each other to call out one another's sin, not because we want to make each other feel bad or to try to be right and you're wrong. It's to it's part of sanctification. It's right. About being being united for what Jesus has to say, for what Jesus' mission is.
For the glory of God.
Because he's got one mission.
Yep.
He doesn't have my mission or your mission. I think we worry about what our purposes are individually more than our purpose, which is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Exactly. Then verse 23 goes on to say, I in them and you in me. I know this particular passage of scripture takes us on kind of this ride of I and me and them mm-hmm. and you. And so I ask the question, well, how does Christ dwell in us? He dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. That is how he's bringing mm-hmm. in the Holy Spirit into this prayer. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. If then we are supposed to be this beautiful, glorious one body and one spirit, then why are we bickering so much and arguing so much? Christ wants us to be, what he says, perfected in unity.
Because we're not dying to ourselves.
Right.
Like we're called to.
So that what? So that the world may know him. Mm-hmm. That's how we witness to people and
it's
show
like,
people.
It's like you got one job.
Right. Do it right. We need to do better, I think.
I just think that we don't really understand our position before God.
I think you're right.
And we have been told so much about our personal relationship with God that, and we do. I don't want to take anything away from mm-hmm. that, but I think that we have focused on our personal individual relationships with God that we have not really paid attention to our relationship corporately. There's
You're
a
right.
lot of
mm-hmm.
things throughout Scripture that God is telling us through his human authors
mm-hmm.
what to do, not only individually, but corporately.
Yes, but wouldn't you say, too, you know, in order to do that, we've got to stop being so offended
right.
when we feel that somebody has wronged us.
Right.
We have to, especially within the church,
mm-hmm.
we've guilty, just saying.
Right, yeah. It's natural. And especially we are living in a culture that teaches us to be offended.
Right.
We're offended by everything.
Not everybody is doing something against you. You know, it's just that somebody made a decision over
time,
here.
Over time, we have been taught that our identities are grounded in our desires.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when your desire becomes your identity rather than just your desire,
mm-hmm.
then if you disagree with my desires, then you must hate me because my identity and my desire is the same thing.
Right.
And we have fallen for that. As Christians, too,
yep.
I think, and we've talked about this before. I don't know that we've talked about it on the podcast, but when we were doing the Philippians study last summer,
mm-hmm.
we talked about one of the questions that I ask in when you're looking at a situation, is it your will being violated or God's?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
And when we aren't being unified in love, that doesn't mean that we don't stand up for truth and we don't point out one another's
mm-hmm.
sin, but God's will is for us to be unified. He prayed for it.
Right. So I asked the question, well, has this prayer been answered? And the conclusion I came to is, yes, the Lord left the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
God in spirit form, to dwell in us. And John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus prayed that we would have unity with him, with the Father, and with each other. And his answer to that prayer is the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is still God. Still God here. And just awesome God. Very generous. I love it. So the second thing that I really saw in here that God prayed for was for us was glory, that we would see his glory. And in verse 24, it says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Christ desires us to be with him in heaven to see his glory. What a glorious day that will be.
Well, that's our glorification.
Uh-huh.
We will be sanctified and we will continue to be glorified until we are fully glorified by seeing him face to face.
We will fully be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now I feel like, yes, we're invited to be a part mm-hmm. of his glory and we are and we're partaking.
Mm-hmm.
But in heaven, it's going to be different.
Well, we won't be in these sin-cursed bodies.
Right, exactly. And Philippians 3:20-21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I love this because I look forward to being in heaven. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I've read some things that are, and rightly so, that people say, well, don't just look forward to being in heaven. Say, you know, look to Jesus now and try to work on your relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. here on earth. Yes, 100%, wholeheartedly agree with that. But I also know this isn't my home.
Right.
And my home is in heaven with Jesus, and that is where I want to be. And not only do I want to be there, but Jesus wants me to be there with him.
Well, you were a gift.
Yeah. So he wants his gift with him, right? So be encouraged, listeners, that this isn't our final home as Christians. This is not as good as it gets.
Well, and the thing is with all of the groanings around us, with uh-huh. all the trouble that we seek, it should give us a deeper desire for our eternal home.
Right. And just think, just remember, he desires us. This isn't, you know, something, oh, well, we get to be in heaven because la-di-da, angels and everything like that. No, he wants us to be there with right. him so that he can show us mm-hmm. his glory. The same glory that passed by Moses in the wilderness, he mm-hmm. couldn't even look at. God had to cover right. Moses with his hand, and his glory passed by. That's the glory we're going to be able to experience right. in heaven and look at and witness right. that same glory.
And that's glory. The thing, does Jesus need us? Absolutely not. He is fully sufficient in himself
right.
with the Trinity. They are in complete harmony and union, and they are completely self-sufficient. But he desires us to be with him.
Right.
He doesn't need mm-hmm. us. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I think we've bought sometimes that we were created because God was lonely. And that's something that couldn't be furthest from the truth.
He wanted us.
He was in complete harmony and in fellowship with
and together in unity with the yes. Son and the Holy Spirit.
But he wanted a people for himself.
Yep. Yeah. Remember, listeners, that we are deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally acceptable, and complete in Jesus Christ. That's yeah. who we are. Don't forget it. Because that, on your hardest day, is what's going to help you through. And the last thing that I looked at when I read through this prayer is that Jesus Christ ended his prayer with love. And of course he did, because God is love. mm-hmm. John 17:25-26 says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know you that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Wow. The love mm-hmm. that God loved his only son mm-hmm. can be in us. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. How does it make you feel that we are that loved by Christ?
Well, I think that if we really truly stop and recognize that, then there's no room for insecurity.
Yes.
There's no room for hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really don't need any other hope.
Mm-hmm.
That even when we're distracted, because we live in this world, we're planted here in this world for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be distracted. But to be so grounded in that love that the distractions don't take us down.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I would say probably every day, I'm distracted by my son's medical condition every single day.
Right.
And every single day, I would say that there is at some point a moment of discouragement. And the only thing that hasn't kept me from sinking into that is this, the mm-hmm. promise
mm-hmm.
of Jesus, that he loves me that much, that he desires us to be with him, experience his glory, and be unified with us. This is what keeps me going. This is worth living for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is everything. And you know, we desire so much to be wanted. And listeners, I want you to rest in the fact that Jesus wants you.
Yeah.
He wants you. And he loves you so much. He loves us so much that we would be unified with him and then unified together with Christians all over the world. In fact, it says that he's going to continue to reveal himself to us.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to continue. And that's why it's so important to continue to read the Bible, even when you think like, oh, I've already been over this chapter a million times. Nope. You know what John Piper said? I heard him say, he's like the person that knows the most about Philippians or something like
right.
that. Okay? He said he still reads Philippians and gets something new from it every time mm-hmm. he reads it.
Yeah. You can never know all that there is to know. You can never, I mean, I've read through the Bible a handful of times, and there's certainly, like, I feel like I'm only, like, scratching the surface.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I know a little bit more about the New Testament than I do the Old mm-hmm. Testament, just because that's where I've landed mm-hmm. most of my time on. But you have the Old Testament that's just, every time you turn the page, it's just Jesus, 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 and you're like, mm-hmm. wait a second, let me absorb this. So now, Christians, it's up to us. We're responsible to reflect Christ's love to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's our responsibility.
Right.
And how we do that. And you know, we should be encouraged because Jesus prayed for us
right.
that we would do
the
that.
The grace that we need to do that
uh-huh.
has already been given to us.
Right.
We don't have to wait for it.
Exactly. We're not sitting around, you know, he's already, it's already done.
We don't need a sign.
Yep. Oh my goodness, that's from the past. You know, the Holy Spirit shows us how mm-hmm. to love Jesus better, more and more mm-hmm. each day, and in turn, how to love others in a way, and only in a way that's possible if you know God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that reminds me of something Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount: "Let your light so shine before mm-hmm. men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven."
So he prayed something he already preached.
I think that it was an overview.
It was. That's what this is. So this is just a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And we encourage you to go through it and just come through it yourself and read it. And we hope that you love it as much as we do. And if you get tripped up or kind of confused, there's all kinds of things that can help you. As far as Bible tools that you can do, tons of commentary on the high priestly prayer. And then, of course, there's just praying yourself and praying that God would, that his Holy mm-hmm. Spirit would reveal to you what he means in the Word. So,
yeah.
So what I want to know is, how are you doing on your New Year's resolution? 2 weeks in.
I have a word. I
you
don't have a
word.
Resolution.
How's your word going?
It's been a rough start.
Me too.
It's been a rough start.
You haven't been very intentional?
I have the desire to be intentional.
And I have the desire
mm-hmm.
to learn.
Mm-hmm. But I've just been really tired.
Yeah.
But not today. I have been very intentional today. So day one. Yes.
Day one.
On the 10th of January.
I have some books that I want to get through to help me learn. And I haven't. And same thing. I just feel kind of run down. But need to give ourselves the grace to make it through.
We don't want to give ourselves an excuse. I think sometimes we do that. When we say, let's give ourselves grace, that means let's cut us some slack. And no, the grace that we want is like the grace that God has given us to endure.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So we need to get our act together because God has given us the grace.
Yep. And I want to learn.
To endure.
I want to learn and I want to do better. So
it's hard to read a lot now that we have our minds are fixed on sound bites and blogs.
I know, it is. That's the thing. I just need to, I've been trying to get off a lot more and you know, stop reading. So you know, that's what you, you know, those little blurbs mm-hmm. and be like, yes, that's it. So I want to read a lot more than what I'm doing right now. So that's why I chose the word learn. So we'll see how it goes. We'll check back in a couple weeks.
And see if I've changed my word yet.
No, you will not. You'll be intentional about sticking with intentional. And I will be intentional about sticking with learning. All right. Well, we will see you next time on I'll Bring the Bible. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember that you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We would love to see you around. If you something resonates with you, give us a little comment. We'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast so that you can be on alert.
Yes.
For other things that come your way. Sometimes you never know, like we did this month. We had a surprise episode.
Woohoo! We did.
If you haven't listened to that, listen to that. It was about the events that happened on, I don't remember, January 6th, I think.
6th, 7th, I don't know.
Something like that. But if you want to, you can go back and take a listen to that. And yeah, we'll see you next time on I'll Bring the Bible. Bye.
Bye.
Woohoo! Yes!